Welcome to the Girl Next Door podcast. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Erica. In every episode, we bring our different perspectives to honest, funny conversations that feel like chatting with good friends.
We started this show years ago when we were next door neighbors and still haven't run out of things to talk and laugh about yet. Friends, hello. I'm not sure if you've heard, but we're having a presidential election here in the U.S. this year. And the fact that we all just collectively groaned, no matter what side of politics you are on, and maybe even if you don't live in the U.S., is why we're here today.
Yes, we are going to chat about how we're feeling heading into this election season, what we can do to take care of ourselves through election day and beyond, and how to navigate tricky conversations. And then over on Patreon, we'll be continuing the discussion, talking about how we currently engage in the news without getting overwhelmed.
Okay, let's get into it. I heard an interesting opinion recently that the real divide in our country isn't between Republicans and Democrats, but between people who care about and follow politics and people who don't. And I can understand that. The news overwhelmingly trends to negative coverage. But we like to be positive over here on the Girl Next Door podcast, so let's start with some optimism. How about if we each give our most positive pitch for why we pay attention to politics and vote?
Okay. First of all, I think it's important to say that I didn't always, and this has definitely ebbed and flowed. And I think sometimes we just think this is static. Like, I'm either a political person or I'm not.
Yeah.
I can either engage or I'm not smart enough for that, or I don't have enough, you know, I don't know enough about that. So I'll just leave that to everybody else. And I think that it's important to give yourself permission that that can change. And even different seasons in life, sometimes you have more bandwidth for it than others. So this has changed for me. I have not voted before. I have voted on different sides of the political aisle before. And I think that's all okay. And I think that's part of our problem is we need to quit separating into tribes that I am this kind of person forever and always, and give ourselves permission to change with new information. So that's number one. But the reason I pay attention to politics and vote now, number one, because I can. And that was not always the case. And I try to stay very aware of that as a woman. That is not the case for a lot of people all around the world. And I think that as imperfect as our system is, we still, this is the system we have. And would you really trade it? You know, I think that we get kind of privileged in our position of like, we've grown up in this and we don't know any different, but do you want to move to Haiti right now with a failed state? Do you want to live in Gaza? Like, you probably don't. And so that's not because we're better over here, but our system is holding up for now. And that's important. And it only holds up if we believe in it and participate in it. Also, I think so many people don't vote because they don't think their vote makes enough of a difference. Or like those, you know, crooked politicians are going to do what they're going to do regardless of what side of the aisle they're on, and my vote doesn't make a difference. But there are all kinds of places in life where maybe the decision you make doesn't feel like it really matters all that much. Like, you know, there's all different kinds of ways to raise kids, or all different kinds of cars to drive, or all different kinds of food you could eat, right? And it's all okay. But would you ever let a stranger make those decisions for you? And Sharon McMahon talked about that, about just like you wouldn't leave a medical decision or, you know, even a seemingly trivial one, a decision about what car you drive or food you eat, how you raise your kids, where you send them to school. You wouldn't leave that to a stranger. But when you're not voting, you're leaving that choice to a stranger. And so if you wouldn't do that, maybe vote. That's my pitch.
I really love that perspective. I love how you put all of that. Okay, for me, it boils down to I love my country. I care about my neighbor Americans, and I want our country to be the best that it can be. I really believe in the foundation of our country and government being founded in democracy. And I do think it's really incredible, like you said, when you start comparing how our government and country works to non-democratic countries. And even when you compare how our country is operating today versus years ago, sometimes not even that long ago. And so I think as we look back, as we look to those other countries, we can see positive progress, even if it's not equal, you know, across the board. I also think about all of the very useful things that our government does that we are really able to take for granted. I'm going to list some for you.
Please do.
Maintaining our streets, operating our public schools, preserving our national parks and forests, making sure that our airlines, bridges, food, water, and air are safe.
Yes, ma'am.
Helping people after a natural disaster, operating our military, helping people who are living in poverty, and on and on and on.
And that as much as we value individual freedom, and I think that that is a good cornerstone in our country, we can totally forget. We can value individual freedom because those things are happening for
right.
us. Because we don't have to think about how we're driving to work or fixing the road in front of our own house. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and I think we, like you said, we just take those things for granted.
Yeah. And those are the things that you have to have when you're living in community. Mm-hmm. And we are living in a giant mm-hmm. community. Mm-hmm. And we just have to have those things mm-hmm. to be, you know, operating and taking care of each other. Do I think our government is doing all of these things perfectly? I do not.
Right.
But I try to think about and kind of break it down. I think about there are actual people working in these organizations, mm-hmm. and I believe they're, for the most part, doing their best, especially given their budget, their staffing, mm-hmm. you know, their situation, mm-hmm. all of that. And so I think paying attention to politics and voting is how I can contribute to improving all of these things that have a real impact on my life and my neighbor's life.
Yeah, I like that. It's a neighborly take on why you vote. I love it.
Well, thank you. So I have been thinking about how I can navigate this year without spinning into anxiety or feeling animosity towards my fellow Americans. I am calling it my 2024 election survival plan.
Love it.
So I would like to hear a rundown of how you're feeling generally heading into this election season and what you will do to take care of yourself through November and beyond.
Okay. So generally, I think a lot of us feel this feeling very, I can get very easily stuck in the really mm-hmm. of it all. Like, really?
Here we go again.
This is what we're doing again, literally, with the same candidates, that's everything. Right. And I'm trying very hard not to stay there because it doesn't matter. This is, it is what it is. This is the reality. So now what?
Right.
Like, get over the really of it all. And yes, there are some larger systemic political system issues we need to talk about to not keep us in this same reality all the time. But we can't just live in the ideal world where, like, right. this would not be a two-party system or whatever it is. Like, this is what we're given. So what am I going to do with what I'm given, right? And then I think it's also very easy to feel certain about the future when it comes to mm-hmm. politics. Like, if this candidate wins, XYZ will happen. Mm-hmm. Or this person is for sure going to win because this polling is... Right. And it's just... When has that ever been the case?
Right.
A lot can change. People yes. can literally die. Right. I think about that. I think about the fact that people could be, you know, you just don't know what's happening behind the scenes. Yes. This is a large machine mm-hmm. and you just don't know what's happening in that political sphere, in the legal sphere, in people's personal lives that might change things even between now and November. Mm-hmm. So that's something I try to keep in mind. I will say right out of the gate, the most important thing that I am doing, and I've been doing this since 2020 when I was grasping at straws for some sanity, is to follow everything that Pantsuit Politics does mm-hmm. and puts out and the books that they write. And I think it is so helpful. And the conversations they are having are so nuanced, so honest. They are not journalists, but they're approaching the news from a personal and sometimes conflicting perspective, but modeling
very,
how to have good conversations.
Yes, well informed.
It is helping me so much to follow literally everything they're doing.
Agreed.
And just have that be a main source of, like, accessing the news. And then Sharon McMahon, at Sharon Says So on Instagram. She is a former U.S. history teacher. She's from Minnesota. She has the best accent. She is just like that common sense, non-biased voice that yes. you need to be like, hey, remember, this is how the judicial system works.
Right.
So let's not panic about this. This is important. This isn't. And just, like, explaining things in a way, like, she has a whole thing where she's like, explain it like I'm five. Mm-hmm. Like, please tell me, because I don't remember this from U.S. history
right.
class or civics or whatever.
Right. Does she have a podcast now, too? Do you follow
that? She
has
a podcast. I don't listen a ton just because I feel like I'm so up to what she does day to day. But I do love it. I just need to make more room
gotcha.
In my podcast queue a little bit. And I think I probably will tune in even more this year mm-hmm. because it's helpful. I think just in general, I'm trying to limit my social media consumption, though, or be very intentional, like, who I'm following and why, and not just scrolling. It can be very easy to feel like you're doing something because
yes.
you're engaging
Agreed.
In that way and scrolling and maybe even commenting. But as Sharon McMahon says, arguing on the internet isn't activism. it's not actually doing the thing that you think it's doing. Mm-hmm. And so I try to remember my, you know, remember that. And then focusing on the good that is mine to do. Mm-hmm. I do have a lot of work to do right in front of me. I have neighbors to engage with. I have girls that I am teaching academically and as a mom about U.S. history, about civics. Like, we are going into a whole year next year of modern U.S. history. And as a big part of that is civics and equity and ethics and, mm-hmm. you know, anti-racism and the civil rights movement and all of that. And I think it all ties in really well to remembering what is important this election season. Mm-hmm. And like, this is my work to do, you know?
Yes. Okay. Heading into this election season, I feel like I am sort of bracing myself for what's to come. I think with many of us, those memories of 2020, you know, so I do find myself kind of going there. And so that's why I do want to have this kind of my plan so I can mm-hmm. remember, you know, okay, like you said, don't stay there. Mm-hmm. You know, you can kind of take care of yourself. I will say, I do feel like a big part of what I'm not excited for is living through this election in a very pro-Trump area when that is not aligned with my politics. And just what I've seen here, I know we've shared some things that you have seen even on the podcast, but some very big fans of his, I know that this is not all of them, but some of them display their excitement about him in ways that are like stickers that say, F Joe Biden,
right.
things like that, that.
Not neighborly.
They're very unneighborly. And when you're just out and about on your day, mm-hmm. running your errands, it just feels so aggressive and hostile to me, even to just see a sticker.
Yeah.
And to me, it's because seeing that, it makes me feel like not just F the president, but F you if you would vote for the president.
Right. And I'm not interested in a conversation about any of that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It makes it feel like there's no place to even enter into a conversation. Right.
When you're starting with the F-bomb, that's not
right.
That's not leaving the door open for a conversation.
And so whenever I see that, it just does just make me feel like, oh, man. So mm-hmm. that is tough. So that is kind of something that I end up feeling. But taking care of myself. I'm like you, I'm being really thoughtful about what media I consume and how I consume it. Agree with the Pantsuit Politics endorsement. Just love them. And we'll be talking more about the media and stuff that we consume over on Patreon, but that is definitely a big mm-hmm. part of it. I started following them in 2016, heading into the 2016 election. Yeah. And yeah, they have just been so fantastic. I have noticed that I also feel better when I have conversations in person with thoughtful people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's great to have thoughtful conversations with people who are aligned with me politically, and that is what I seek out mostly. But I do also know some people who aren't aligned with me politically, and we still have really thoughtful, mm-hmm. respectful conversations. Mm-hmm. And that always makes me feel really good. I mean, I do find just all of the breadth of the issues facing our country and us as individuals, just interesting. Mm-hmm. I like hearing people's ideas mm-hmm. or like, you know, how would you do that? You know, what have you heard? And if you can engage thoughtfully, I do find that interesting. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I will just think about the people that I can talk to in real life mm-hmm. if I'm, you know, going on a doom scroll or
you're like in your head about
it. Yeah, it just makes it personalize it a little bit more. And just in terms of being in an area that it feels like the majority don't align with me politically, it feels like, okay, you know what? But I still have, you know, a crew of people mm-hmm. that I'm not lonely,
right?
I guess,
right?
And that feels good. And honestly, there are times too when it can feel kind of exciting to be in a place where mm-hmm. you are the political minority mm-hmm. because it feels like, you know what? Like, I feel like there's good work to do, I want to be part of it, and it is. There's like a particular satisfaction in connecting with neighbors mm-hmm. and with people who mm-hmm. don't agree with you, but finding other ways that, you know, that we are aligned, or even if we're just taking our kids to the same school and not talking about politics, but just being like, see, that's part of being in a community.
Yeah,
you have to have all kinds of people.
To be able to get back to, which I think has at different times in American history, but definitely we're in one of them now, to get back to the civility of just disagreeing about policy,
right,
and not like reality.
Yeah.
And not that you're a terrible person if you, yes, voted for so-and-so or whatever. And it feels like taking the temperature down, mm-hmm, right? And being able to do that again.
Mm-hmm. One thing I want to share, I just thought of this, that I think was kind of a phrase that Chris came up with. This was heading into the 2016 election, and I have thought about this. And so this was, you know, into the 2016 election, you know, I think maybe after Trump had won office, and so Obama was headed out. We were big Obama supporters and were very disappointed and worried about Trump coming into, mm-hmm, office. And I remember Chris said, we have to love our Trump-loving neighbor more than we love Obama.
Mm.
And that gets to getting away from these political deities.
Alliances, yeah.
Yeah. And just like, I like, Obama is not going to lend me an egg.
Exactly.
I'm trying, exactly, to make a recipe.
Right.
But my neighbor down
or
the
help
street.
Me on the side of the road when I'm, yeah, stranded. Yeah.
But my neighbor down the street who differs from me politically would.
That's so good.
And so I just think about that. And that, it, just like you're saying, like just getting to, we are living in community with each other. Mm-hmm. And we ultimately have so much more in common than we disagree, mm-hmm, about. We all want, you know, to be able to send our kids to great schools. We want our neighborhoods and towns to be safe. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we want groceries to, mm-hmm, be affordable, just all of these things. Right. So I think if I can sometimes reframe,
I like that a lot.
That really helps me. And then the last thing is, I think about the saying, action is the antidote to despair. Mm-hmm. And this definitely helps me. And for me, this is about finding a way to get involved, to take some actual action, mm-hmm, like you said, not just scrolling on social media, commenting, mm-hmm, on those kinds of things. What this looks like for me this year is I am getting involved in a local campaign for public school funding, mm-hmm, in our town. This failed in a voter initiative last year. It's really critical, and that is a really important issue to me. Mm-hmm. And I have found it to be just so energizing and just uplifting, mm-hmm, to go to these meetings where everyone around the table is like a school employee, just a parent, just a community member. And we're just there caring about our kids,
collectively caring,
in our schools. Yeah. And there is something just really beautiful and amazing to see that is technically politics, but to see it at such a local level.
Yeah.
Because you really see, like, it's people. It's, mm-hmm, not this big machinery.
Right.
It is people who care. You see that they are there with good intention. They are ready to do the hard, mm-hmm, work of it. And it's because, you know, and you're seeing also this, like, tangible result. Like,
right,
I know this will go to help maintain our schools.
Right.
To pay teachers. Things,
right,
like that.
Well, and these are the parents of those kids who go to,
right,
the school. These are the teachers that we're talking about paying.
Right.
And like, I think it can be kind of a cop out to just be like, oh, well, nothing matters. It's all a big machine and whatever. Like, no, this is impacting your and your neighbor and your family members and, mm-hmm, your friends' lives every,
yeah,
day. And it's not enough to just be like, well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Nothing I do matters.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, nothing you do matters if that's how you feel about it.
That's,
you know,
right.
So.
If you're not doing anything.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about the situation that we are probably sure to all find ourselves in, talking with someone who has very different political views than we do. How do you think about navigating these conversations? I feel like you have brought some great wisdom to this topic on past episodes. How confident are you in expressing a different opinion? Do you have any phrases that are helpful to keep in your back pocket? I just feel like this is a situation that we pretty much all dread. So, mm-hmm, let's get into it.
Well, I think one thing I'm trying to keep in mind is the goal of those conversations.
Yes.
And that sometimes that can even be stated out loud. I know, like with my husband, where we've disagreed on, I've talked about like the beginning of COVID being really tough, like politically on our relationship, like how that was being handled. And to literally say out loud to people that you are in close relationship with, like, look, I want to talk to you about this, but my relationship with you matters. And I love you more than I care about agreeing with, mm-hmm, this on you, you know, agreeing about this with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we get in this, it's just human nature. You get in this mindset where you're just defending your position. Yeah. And unless you change your mind completely and agree with me, we have nothing in common.
That's right.
And we have a rift in our relationship. And I think when you're talking about like talking to parents, talking to siblings, or like those real close relationships, I think it's important to set that stage that this is, that's more important at the end of the day. And even if you don't say it out loud, to remember that for yourself. Mm-hmm. I also think that most of these phrases I have gotten from Sharon McMahon or Beth and Sarah from Pantsuit Politics, and I think it's so helpful. A couple things that Sharon says that she says when someone is trying to kind of maybe rope her into a conversation she doesn't want to have, or that she's worried is going to go, you know, and maybe I just don't want to do the back and forth, is to say something like, "That's really interesting." And then
there you go.
Go grab a drink.
No follow-up question.
You know, big family event. Just like, "Oh, that's really interesting. I'm going to head over and grab a drink."
Yep.
Like just... Yep. You can leave it at that. Or another one she says a lot is lots of people feel that way.
Yes.
Like I'm not one of them. I'm making it clear. I'm not agreeing with myself,
but I'm acknowledging that is an opinion.
Yes. Because I think what happens sometimes is like, we just want someone to see it our way.
Yes.
And even if somebody is, and we actually are okay if they disagree with us, as long as they acknowledge the validity of what we're saying or feeling.
I agree.
Or like lots of people love it. Lots of people love him. Mm-hmm. Lots of people love that or love public school or whatever, you know, whatever topic you're talking about. And then for pushing back a little bit, or when you do want to have that conversation, or that conversation is veering into something that maybe you are personally offended by, you know, some racist comments or some comments that really feel like they, you know, all teachers are lazy, whatever the comment is that's thrown out, right? That you are like, biting your tongue at the family reunion, to say something like, "I'm curious about what brought you to that opinion."
Yeah.
Because number one, I think it shows people like you need to have a reason for saying some crazy stuff like that. Like, like you need to actually back that up with something. But I think it's a subtle message of that, but it is genuine curiosity then. Yes. Like, I want to hear more from you. I'm not just going to talk at you about why that was wrong. I want you to tell me. And I think part of what that gets at too is when they do tell you, you can then take the conversation in that direction. Mm-hmm. Maybe they did have a legitimate, you know, they have military service. They have something that like really has scarred them or really impacted, and it's legitimate. And we can't just like shame people out of their opinions. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work like that.
Yes.
Or to say something like, you know, maybe someone drops a somewhat offensive comment or something you deem that way, and you can say, "What do you mean by that?" Because number one, maybe they didn't mean anything by it. Maybe you genuinely misunderstood or took it personally, you know. It also makes them like, oh, I can't just drop things like that without, or like it gives everybody's attention to the fact that that was a little out of line and you're going to need to like back that up. Or to say like, "Wow, what did you just say?"
Nice.
And just leave it. Just like say it again. Say it out loud again and hear how that sounds for a minute. Because I think a lot of times that will cause people to just pause like, oh, I didn't mean it, you know.
Right.
And maybe they do just right then and there rephrase it in a way that sounds less offensive or whatever. Maybe it's just that like, hey, I'm going to push back. I'm going to be myself here and I'm going to stand up for what's right. But I'm going to try and do it. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt in all of that.
People on both sides get so worked up about these things. And so just like, let's take a minute. Let's take the temperature down just a second. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, give you an opportunity. Like, let's just bring it down just a minute and remember we're trying to have a conversation.
Yeah. And it also gives you a minute to be like, I'm not going to immediately respond with,
that's right,
you can't like, say stuff like that or whatever. But it's like, okay, let's tell me more about that.
Yep. I really like that. Kind of what you got to, how I feel really depends on how the other person enters the conversation, you know? And I guess just in terms of how I go into these conversations, how confident I feel in expressing a different opinion, I guess one thing that I wanted to share is that although I consider myself thoughtful and intelligent, I do find this challenging situation where if someone comes in with something they read, something they heard, and they're kind of fired up about it, all of a sudden I feel like I know nothing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because you may not have read the same thing. Yeah,
and especially if someone is like kind of spouting really specific things, mm-hmm. like, you know, what the government did and inflation and stuff. And suddenly I'm like, I don't really know how inflation works.
Right.
Did the government right. do that? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I feel like despite all of this like in thoughtful, intelligent conversation I'm consuming, suddenly like I'm a deer in the headlights. Right. Like, I don't know.
Because you feel like it's like your responsibility to defend the yes. other side, whether yes. it actually is or not.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel that way. And I also want to have like a respectful conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just like slap back. Also, I feel like I don't have these like facts and figures to like, mm-hmm. you know, slap mm-hmm. back at somebody else. I wouldn't want to do that anyway. So I do find myself feeling a little uncomfortable and sometimes a little disappointed in myself that I like almost yeah. can't engage yeah. more in conversations.
I felt like that before too.
So yeah. So that's something. But yeah, a few things that I'm thinking about since these conversations are sure to happen. I think in a situation like that, I could say something like, well, I didn't read that article, but I do think, and then I could just share mm-hmm. like a very general opinion, mm-hmm. or it could also be a way to like kindly let the other person know that I don't agree with them. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I didn't read that article, but I do think inflation is really complicated. And you know what? I've been generally happy with the way the president has handled. Responded or right. something like right. that, you know, which that's not saying, I feel like it's not like an overt criticism to them, but it's just kind of letting you know, like you're not preaching to the choir here. Mm-hmm. And so
not everybody here feels that way.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So I think maybe that could, you know, and I think that can, you know, that can go both ways. Mm-hmm. Anyone could say I've been generally happy or generally unhappy with that. But yeah, like I said, I feel like the biggest thing is kind of how the other person is entering conversation. If they're coming to have a back and forth true conversation, mm-hmm. or if they just want to talk at you. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like in situations, if I'm getting the sense that someone just wants to talk at me, I guess what I was thinking about saying something like, you know, I don't think we see eye to eye on this. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
Do you have any trips coming up?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can just, oh, that's just, interesting. I'm going to go get a drink. You can excuse yourself right, from the conversation. Right. Or if you're kind of stuck with someone or you generally, you know, a family member that yeah. it's like, I do want to talk to you, but not about this.
Yeah.
You know, kind of.
It's okay to just be like, I'm not having yeah. this conversation with yeah. you in a nice way.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I feel like too, just being like, you know, I don't think we're going to agree on this yeah. because I don't want to shy away from having a differing opinion, mm-hmm. but just like letting them know nicely, like, let's just talk about something else.
Or even say like, maybe we could talk about this later. It sounds like this is kind of fiery for both yeah. of us or whatever,
right.
you know?
Right, exactly.
Just when it's kind of heading that direction.
Yes. Okay. So that is what I'm deep keeping breaths. In mind.
You know, something I was just thinking as you were talking, I feel like you're really good at this when I've seen you, we've just been in a lot of conversations mm-hmm. together. So when I've seen you kind of actively listening to someone, showing them that you care, you're always so respectful about, you know, and making space for everybody's opinions. I think something you do that's really good is you always say, it sounds like you, da, 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 da. So like, it's like your act, it's like the therapist
right.
speak of like, let me retell you what I'm hearing mm-hmm. from you. And mm-hmm. it, but you do it in this way that is very like, I'm seeing you, mm-hmm. I'm hearing you. And I think that that's literally like 75% of the battle is that people want to be seen and they're going to get louder and more fired up until they feel
you're so
seen
right.
and heard. So even if you vehemently disagree,
right,
saying something like, it sounds like you feel really strongly about mm-hmm. gas prices. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't felt the same way or I haven't noticed the same things. I think we have different experiences there, but here's yep. how I'm generally feeling, like you said.
Yeah.
So I just think that that's something you do a really good job at
as
you're going
you.
Into this season.
Well, girding thank your you. Loins. Thank you. I will try to continue doing that. Okay. And over on Patreon, we are continuing the conversation and chatting with friends of the show about how we are currently engaging with the news and finding a balance between being informed, but not feeling overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. We shared a little bit about some of the sources that we're turning to, but we're going to chat even more about that and even like how
specifically
nitty gritty, yeah. like when we're actually consuming yeah. those things. So join us over there. If you aren't already a friend of the show, you can join for just $5 a month and you'll have access to all of our bonus episodes and content over there. Okay, friends, let's end with some latelys where we each share what's going on lately. It might be a funny story, something we're obsessed with lately, a recent win or fail. What's your lately?
Okay, I'm going to tell you the most romantic thing my husband has done in years.
Okay.
All right. I have mentioned on this show multiple times wanting a combination robot vacuum mop.
Yes.
Right? And I wanted to move the current. We have a current, like, I don't even know what brand it is, Uli or something, a current robot vacuum who we love, who we named Dustin. But I wanted to move him upstairs for upstairs use because we have more carpet. And I wanted to get something for our mostly tile floors with some area rugs that was combination vacuum mop. But they're not all created equal. Mm-hmm. And the good ones that do all the things can be really expensive. Yeah. So I just didn't, you know, I had thrown this out there for a couple of years. I showed Jeremiah a video about one because I was like, look at this. This thing cleans itself.
Oh my gosh.
It sanitizes the mop. It maps your house and you can set certain areas. It showed up on our doorstep.
Oh.
And let me tell you what, if thinking a vacuum cleaner mop is romantic at 43 years old is wrong, I don't want to be right. Because I felt so seen, so heard. The day before, I was kind of talking about feeling a little overwhelmed with household stuff. You know, it just kind of ebbs and flows. And right now, we don't have a house cleaner because we just decided it just goes in spurts. You know, sometimes we're like, we really need it. Sometimes we don't. But it also feels like it's just not. The house is fine, but it's not where I would like it to be. And I feel like I'm the only one who notices certain things. You know, the general mom gripe, right?
Yes.
And he just, it showed up on the doorstep and he was like, come on in here. I have a surprise for you. And I was like, what? I just had no, I mean, I really thought it was like a treat, like a cookie or something. And he brings in this huge, it's the Narwhal Frio X Ultra. And this thing is Mercedes of vacuum mops. When I tell you I love it with my whole heart, and we named it Walter because it's a narwhal.
It's so cute.
I call him Wally as well. I have programmed all of these things. He is my floors have never been so clean.
Gosh.
It does the most incredible job. It will come back to an area. It will like sense how dirty it is when it gets back to the base and go back and clean that area again if there's too much dirt.
Holy cow.
It, when I tell you,
oh my gosh.
And you know, a lot of these things require a lot of like, yeah, it's great, it does it, but now you have to clean all the individual parts.
Right.
No. This thing fully cleans itself. All you have to do is empty the dirty water tank and fill up the fresh water tank.
Wow.
That's literally it. And it's not very often even that you have to do that. It is incredible.
You are living your Jetson life.
I'm telling, what a world we live in.
What a world.
I'm telling you. So
I got to come see this in action.
It is. I watched it the first night. Like I gave myself a sore neck because I was turned. We were like kind of testing it out and I was turned around in my chair so much watching him like clean the kitchen.
Oh my gosh.
And we just talk about him so affectionately.
Okay, how big is it? Like,
so it's like the whole base is probably, I don't know what, how big is this that I'm showing you?
How big is that?
How big is it? It's like a gallon. It holds like 2 gallons of water at a time in the base. A gallon of dirty water and a gallon of clean.
The size of that was kind of like a large home espresso maker size.
Yeah, like a big coffee maker
there
size maybe.
Generally.
And it lives under my desk in my little alcove office.
Okay.
And he just,
Walter
I
lives.
Mean, when he notices that his dustbin is too full, he goes right on back to the base and empties it and then carries on.
Look at him.
It is the cutest little home device you've ever seen in your life. I could not be happier. I could not be happier. I have told Jeremiah over and over how that was the sweetest thing.
I love it.
And he's like, well, I mean, I like clean floors too. I'm like, I know, but this, your timing and that you made it a surprise.
I get it.
And
I get it.
Was so
I get
sweet.
It. Just the whole situation.
Yes.
I love that. How romantic. Okay. Well, I want to share that we recently got back from a really great spring break trip to California.
Yeah.
We went to Joshua Tree National Park and to San Juan Capistrano, which is about an hour north of San Diego. It was our first beach trip as a family of five, and we all loved the beach.
Yay!
I feel like I was like, oh, I think I actually really love the beach. Like, I don't really crave going to the beach. Like, we just get already so much sun here and heat.
Yes.
That's not usually where I want
the
vacation.
The kind of vacation that you want.
Yeah. But just everyone can enjoy the beach at their own speed. Maeve and I did sand toys and just kind of barely played in the surf. The boys were all the way in. Mm-hmm. I just loved that we could all enjoy it so much. So anyway, and I was just noticing too, you know, every trip that we take gets just a little easier and better as the kids get older.
Yeah.
And I was just noticing a really big shift from our spring break trip last year to this one. It just feels like we kind of turned a bigger corner and just makes me feel like, okay, we are getting there, mm-hmm. you know, and that just felt really good to experience.
That. I love that for you.
Okay, that wraps it up, friends. Thank you so much for listening. The show notes for this episode with links for everything we talked about are at our website, girlnextdoorpodcast.com. Come hang out with us over on Instagram. We're Hi Girls Next Door. And we love to get your emails at higirlsnextdoor@gmail.com.
Thanks so much for dropping in. Until next time, friends. That's interesting.
I'm going to go get a drink. I have a heating pad on my lap. That's how.
Why is it old lady? Your lap?
Because it's just like I was chilly this morning. It looks and so it's cute. Just, thank you. This
that
is a new
top
little
is
like
very flattering.
Yes,
on you.
Thank you. It's not too. It like fits well, but yeah. it's more really form cute. Fitting than I'm used to. So I'm getting used to it. But I think it's good. Yeah, I was just cold,
a slightly chilled
this morning, and it's just so nice as I'm sitting here working. It's just really nice. So.
Just cozy.
Yeah. So yeah, just rocking that. I just want you and the people to know.
My use of a heating pad has gone up dramatically in my 40s.
It goes up significantly
like,
after 40.
It's a big leap into 40.
Yes. You're really reaching for
it. It's like I remember, like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That would be nice.
That's right.
Well, first of all, I think that I would like...
I know.
I would like to say...
Hold on.
I like turned into a Southern politician there for a minute. Okay.
And government.
You're like, maybe I don't. I don't know.
Here we go. Like need more commas or something. Positive progress there.
Yes.
And that yes. is, you know, nope. Went off script.
But I like your point. Still make that point.
Okay.
Like positive progress is not necessarily perfect,
that's
but it's
right.
still progress.
That's right. Okay, let's do it.
All right.